Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 59 today. We're going to unpack steps 4 through 9, and it begins with made us searching and fearless and ends with when to do so would injure them or others. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Joanne B., the 12 traditions, Cindy K., reading the paragraph today, I guess is what we're going to call it, and support would be Shannon M., Sarah T., and Kara L. Hang around. We're going to have more yet to come with Wendy B. is going to greet some newcomers and get some sponsor contact information. And Leslie M. has some announcements here for you today. Don't go away. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, October 7th, 2019, is 13488, 13,488. And for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened already this morning, Tuesday, October 8th, 2019, that share ID number is 13491, 13,491. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Joanne B. I will now ask Cindy K. to read the 12 traditions of OA, please.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K. recovered in Kansas City, Missouri. These are our 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a good day, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we're considering the recording as well, would be the star 1 function only, please. Utilize the star 1 function only. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 59. We're going to be unpacking 6 steps today, starting with step 4, made us searching and fearless, and end with step 9, which will end with to do so would injure them or others. And I will ask Shannon M. to begin that reading today and share on those particular steps. Shannon, it's your go.
Thanks. I'm Shannon M., compulsive overeater in Texas. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And it's a lot of steps all in one. But I know for me, my inventory this time for step 4 was different than the ones that I've done in the last 9 years of my recovery. And it's because I was holding on to one thing that I just didn't want to put on there. And that's what was holding me back from getting recovered. because it was the one thing that I just didn't want to share. And this time around, listening to the vision meetings and seeing the recovery that people had and getting a network of people, I felt safe to do that. And I also was just in so much pain from the eating that I was willing to do whatever. And if it meant telling every single one of my secrets, then I was willing to tell every single one of my secrets. And after I did that and I did step five and I admitted to God and to myself and to someone else the exact nature of my wrongs and all of my secrets, I did have immediate relief and just like a spiritual experience from that and a connection to a higher power that I hadn't had before. And then step six and seven, that's something that I've currently been really trying to focus on when I'm doing my step 10s, is just looking at what is my actual defect, what is going on, and then acting as if my higher power has already removed it from me. So asking and then acting as if, because I can't remove my defects of character, just like I can't stop compulsively eating by myself. I have to have a higher power to do that for me. And so, you know, I humbly ask my higher power to remove those, and then I act as though, you know, he already has. And I fall short every single day, but it's getting better each time. And then with steps eight and nine, I had to do a lot of amends my first time around. I had to make amends to a lot of places I stole food from, which was very humbling. And they just kind of looked at me weird. But I knew like I needed to do that. And from the places that I worked, because I was a waitress at the time, and make amends for all the food that I would take during my shift. And then just making those direct amends as long as they don't injure other people. And I do have a few where it would injure the person if I told them what I did or what happened. And so I can't make those amends. And so instead, you know, I wrote a letter and just acted as though I did the amends, and then don't do that behavior in the future with other people. And that's seemed to work. It gave me peace and compassion, and just it, you know, it removed my obsession for food, and it removed the pain that I felt and the resentments. And now I feel a lot better. So that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shannon M. The lines are now open for additional comments on those particular steps. We're looking at page 59, steps 4 through 9, and you can comment on any or all of those for your 3 minutes. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Santa H.
Hi, Santa.
Jackie Hello. H.
Jackie H. Hey, good morning.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Hi.
Dion R.
Dion. Hi.
Reggie O.
Hi, Reggie.
Mo H.
Mo H. Great lineup. Let's go with that. Santa H, Jackie H, Elaine B, Dion R, Reggie O, and Mo H. Good morning again, Santa.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning to everyone on the line. Thank you for your service. Again, my name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And I just want to horn in on, for me, why I must do these steps here. This is the action step of the program. And this right here is just a skill set of what I will need to be doing in step in the rest of my life. And so when it says searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, it is stated on page 64 that once I made that crucial decision, this is something that I must do at once, and it required a strenuous effort to be rid of. And it also said that liquor was just a symptom, and that I had to get down to the causes and condition, the pattern of my failure. And this is the reason why I do step 4. And step 5, where it says admit to God, to ourselves, to the human being, the exact nature of our wrong, and The Big Book also states on page 72 that the basic reason is if I didn't do this, if I skipped this vital step, they call it, it's very vital, that I may never overcome my eating. So this is important for me to not step by, not do a step four and just turn it over to my higher power and go on with life. I have to do step five. I have to. It is required of me to do this. And so that sends me on to step six, where it says be entirely ready to have God remove all defects of character. And I like what the Big Book says is that, I lost my place here. You know, where it says that, you know, I answered these questions on page 76. It's not really a prayer for me. It's just answering these questions. I mean, now I'm ready to let God remove from us all these things which are objectable. And I just answer yes. And can he take them all, every one? And I just answered yes to the questions. But I love what it says here, too. If we still cling to them, we will not let them go. We ask the higher power to help us be willing. And then in step eight, where I humbly reboot, asking my higher power to remove my shortcomings, I say the prayer that is listed on page 76. And so in the book says, we need more actions. Faith without works is dead. So I don't stop there. I have to continue on with step eight and nine, where I must be willing to go to any length. And this is the victory over alcohol. This is where I begin to see the promises when I would actually do make the list of all the people I've harmed and be willing to go out into the world and make my amends. So here, I start with myself, then I turn over to my higher power, and then I go out into the world and make my amends to my fellows. And with that, I pass. Melanie, are you there?
Can't hear you, Melanie.
Oh, thanks so much, my fellow friends, for keeping me out of touch here. Muted. It's going to be Jackie H's turn now, and then followed by Elaine B. Thanks for your help, guys.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service and everybody else. This is Jackie H, recovered in Colorado, and I am very full today. I just returned from the Colorado convention in Denver, and I got to meet a bunch of my Colorado peeps and just enjoyed, just so I was filled, so full. And we actually did, the whole weekend was unpacking these steps. And the theme was many voices, one solution. And you know, the one solution to me, yeah, we had lots of voices tell how they did the steps and what, you know, the results and all that. But the one thing that I got out of it, and the one thing is my heart, these steps help us to quit playing God. Helped me. I'm going to say me. It's helping me to quit playing God. Trust me, I still try to do that. I have a ton of 10 steps going on for some reason right now in my little life, and I think it's just because I'm really starting to pay attention to my thoughts and what's going on here. And these steps are designed for living for me. When I first went through the steps 12 years ago in another program, I thought you just go through the steps once and you've done the steps and you go on about your life. And really I didn't drink anymore. I can say that. It was God's grace that I didn't drink anymore, but I didn't have the spiritual awakening. I didn't have the transformation that I have now as a result of these steps. And I just want to concentrate on step nine for a minute, because I have a beautiful story, because I have a granddaughter who is 30 years old now, but she is in, she's in her alcoholism and her drug addiction. And I didn't know where she was because she's out on the streets, right? And I knew I needed to make an amends to her because I had involved myself way too much in her life. I had I just did. There were lots of codependent crap that I did in trying to get her to do things my way. And she had four little kids, and I felt like they were my responsibility, on and on. But I wrote a letter to her and put it in my big book and set it where I do my meditation, not knowing where I couldn't send it anywhere, but asking God if the, you know, let me make this amends. And, you know, at 12:30 one night, she calls, and yes, she is drinking, but she was sound. She had the ability to hear, and she was actually said thank you to me for being a good granny, because she usually called and told me what a horrible person I was. And I started out by saying, well, Mel, I haven't been the best. I haven't done everything right either. And I remembered my amends, and I grabbed it out and I read it. And on the other end, I heard her say, thank you. And there was one thing I had left out. I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to own it, but I had to. I could not hold it any longer. And I said, you know what, sweetie? Because she had four kids that she lost, and her oldest daughter, I was partial to that little girl. I loved her, and I showed my partiality. And I always told Melanie, no, I'm not. No, I'm not partial. And so I told her, I said, you know what, Mel? You were right. You were right. Your gut was right. I was partial to her, and I am so very sorry. Thank you. And what a gift. I could hear her on the other, you know, it was like she knew it, and I was lying to her. It was like the elephant in the living room, right? And so I'm so grateful for the gift that God gave me. And if something were to happen to her today, I would grieve, but and she's starting to come around a little bit too. And so this relationship can be repaired, and it can be restored, and she can get sober. And we'll see. We see what happens here. It's in God's hands. Thank you. I'll pass.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Elaine B., it's your turn, and then Dion R.
Oh, thank you so much for your service, Melanie. It's powerful shares so far. And these steps changed my life. And this continuing on through 10, 11, and 12, that's how my life continues to change, because it's so true that more will be revealed. And, you know, the big book talks about we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. That, you know, we're like the director that wants to run the show and arrange everything to suit us. And when we do that, we can harm people. And but all I ever saw was my part. So step four is a beautiful place where I get to find out what was eating me. Wasn't so much what I was eating. That was an issue, too. When we got that in the corral, then there were still things eating me. And so I needed to find out what they were, searching and fearless. And I got to recognize what instincts they impacted. No wonder I was sore. It was so validating. It was really, really helpful for me to see that. But then I got to turn it around and take a look at those people weren't my problem. That spiritual axiom, which bothers me, but if I live by it, it really helps me, that if there's something disturbing me, it's not them. It's something in me that needs to be adjusted, fixed, realized, recognized. I need to see my part. And I began to learn my coping mechanisms, my defense mechanisms above and beyond the food. And those are the things that caused me to step on the toes of my fellow, to grab what I want out of life, to push or pull or do whatever it was to try to get my way, which I thought would bring me the ease and comfort that I didn't get. Thank you, God, because now I can access ease and comfort from God if and only if I continue to work the steps. That step five, rigorous honestly, telling everybody what I've done, telling somebody, not everybody, telling somebody I really trusted what I've done. And it was a combination of revealing that, letting go of the load, getting some powerful feedback, but mostly seeing a pattern that I had never seen before, that I was like, oh, you know, light dawned on Marblehead, and I had a spiritual awakening through that experience. With step six, I get to acknowledge those character defects that aren't working for me. I thought they would. They don't anymore. But I can't remove them. but God can, so I think I'll let him. And that I pursue every day with steps 6 and 7 on my knees in the morning and at night. And as I do 10 steps, I can't. He can. I need to let him. And all through that, I need to keep looking for my part and admitting my fault to others. And humbly, restoring relationships that I have damaged through my self-will run riot, which still pops up day by day. And so we grow. And I'm glad you're on the journey with me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. Dion R., you're next, and then Reggie will come in after you.
Yes, hi, this is Dion R. Good morning. And I wanted to say hello to my fellows. And step 4 through 9, reading this, somebody brought it up, page 64, and just reiterating it. Step 4 is for me is bringing up is our objective is to disclose damage and unsalable goods to get rid of them promptly without regret. To me, that was step 4. It was the first step 4 I did. Of course, I guess I was ready. Many times in OA, I wasn't ready, but I did it anyway. But I'm so grateful when I did it. I do it every day if something pops up. But to let me know that I can't keep a business of running my body, mind, and spirit under the guidance of my higher power if I don't get rid of that stuff that's blocking me off from him. Therefore, I'm not valuable to him or anyone. And that is the main reason I love about getting rid of that stuff is step 4. Down on the bottom of page 64, that last paragraph, talks about resentment is our number one offender. It destroys most, for me, compulsive overeating than anything else. It will destroy because it's my mind. Right? It says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So to hear that, of course it was frightening at first. And many times they say you're not ready because it's a fearless immoral. But when I was ready and did it anyway because I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing it my way, that I was like, look, I'll do it anybody's way to stop this misery and pain. Felt like a walking dead, you know. I don't feel that today, and that's the relief. But I'm just, because many people expounded very well on the rest of the steps, but I just want to go to step 9, making that amends. Today, I'm still making amends. I thought it would be a one and done. I was one of them checks and balances for, oh, check, did that, check, check. And I'm so glad my higher power is so much smarter than me and all of you people as a whole. I love it because I know I know today that I cannot, it's no one and done. I'm like an onion, you know, like someone said years ago. You know, we're always unveiling, finding out more about me. Because if I was perfect, I wouldn't need the program. I wouldn't need God. I wouldn't even need to be here, you know, period, on earth. So I was like, why am I here? So anyway, I'm just saying that to say I don't beat myself up as much when I find out something, but I go right into action. And you know why? Because I get a gift behind it. I get a gift. The gift is recovery and other things beyond my wildest dreams. And I'm so grateful to pass. With that, guys, thanks for allowing me to share. With that, I'll pass. Thanks, Mel.
Thank you, Dion R. Reggie O., it's your turn, and then Mo will come in after you, and then we'll open up the lines again. Hi, Reggie.
Thanks. Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service. So good to hear your voice this morning, and everybody for the amazing shares in these in this reading today. You know, I've been through the steps many times in my time in OA, and but I tell you, they just get deeper and deeper for me. I was, you know, just thinking, and as you all were sharing, but you know, there was a I did an amends the first when I first came into Vision for You. There was something on my amends list that had not been on my amends list for the ninth step that had not been on my amends list for over 30 years, and that was because I just knew I never would and never could make the amends. And I don't even remember if it was ever on my fourth step list, But this is kind of going from the backwards to the front. But when I decided and shared, you know, even telling my sponsor at the time that I had this amends to make was absolutely huge for me because it was one that I carried a great deal of shame with for. But I told him, and, you know, I said, okay, I'll do it. And it was the person I needed to make the amends to was a very, very hard person to reach because she's, was at a very high level in this institution where I used to work. And it was just, and I would have to go through people to send messages and this and that. And, but I was willing to do it, or so I thought. And then one morning the phone rang. And this was back in Boston where I used to live. And one morning the phone rang, and I couldn't find my phone because it was under all these papers on my desk. Excuse me. And finally I found the phone, and it stopped ringing the moment I picked it up, and it was this woman. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I knew that I had, like, probably a minute to call her back or I would never reach her, and I didn't know I would ever be able to make the amends. Excuse me for this frog in my throat this morning. But anyway, I called my sponsor. He wasn't there. I called another sponsor that I'd worked with in another program and was quite close to and still, you know, called every now and then. Neither was there. And I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to make this amends? I don't know if I can pick up this phone. I got down on my knees. And I mean, I fell. That was the only thing I could do. I fell on my knees and I just prayed, you know, God, you've got to do this because I can't. And I picked up the phone and made the call and I got this woman and it literally was a spiritual experience for me. And it was an amends that we're doing something that no one would have ever known that I did. And she said that, you know, she said, you know, I would have never known this. And I said, I know, but I had known it for over 30 years. And, oh, my gosh, it was amazing. What I've gone back and learned since that time is that what I did, my fault, the harm I did, was based on a resentment that I had, and I didn't know it, you know. And I think that's what my resentments are almost always based on fear of some sort, and usually fear because of some action that I, you know, I'm afraid to take or have been afraid to take. But it's just amazing how it all works together, you know. For me, so much has been led by the fear. And then the resentments are often the cause of harms that I do. And I actually just learned that. I got that in my gut just since we've been going through the steps this time. So I'm very, very, very grateful for it. And that it just keeps getting better. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thanks, Reggie. Okay, Mo H., it's your 3 minutes now, and then we'll open up the lines for a few more. Good morning, Mo.
Yeah. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Thank everyone on the line. 4 through 9. I think that's the heart and soul of our program. And if I don't do any of those steps, I'm not going to get recovered. And what I want to pitch for here this morning is having a sponsor and having sponsees. Because I learn more from talking to each one of my sponsees, working the steps. Sometimes something is revealed to me by their sharing their 4, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 to me, and I go, oh yeah, that happened to me. And then I have my sponsor that I can connect with when I am troubled. So I use 4 through 9 as getting through the meat of the program, and then we'll be talking about 10 and 11 tomorrow to keep it going every day. So it's really important, as Melanie said before we started, we study this book, we dissect it, we pick it apart, line by line, sometimes word by word. And one of our fellows on the meeting says, you know, uncover, discover, and discard. And that's what we are doing when we're doing 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9. We're uncovering what's going on, some of our deep, deep, deep secrets, and discovering and discarding them, letting them go. Once I do it, it's gone. Making my amends, especially the financial ones, was a gift to my program. It set me free. And so I say, don't hesitate on doing that. I've heard that the promises don't start coming true until you're halfway through step 9. So those 9-step promises. So keep working your program. like your hair is on fire, like I hear all the time. And, you know, have a sponsor and connect with them and have sponsees every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. The lines are now open for additional comments or commenting, you know, on
Matthew
page
F.
59. Hey, Matthew. Hang on just a second. I want to let you all know what we're studying here. It sounds like you already know, but we're on page 59 of the big book, and we are unpacking steps 4 through 9 today. So we want to focus on those particular six steps today. So I got Matthew, and then there's a woman right after. Is that Patty that I heard after?
Yes,
Matthew?
Patty D.
Okay. Okay.
Laura R.
And I have Laura. Uh-huh.
Emily
K. B.
Emily and Sherry KB, and that's it. So let's hit it off here. Matt F, and then Patty D, Laura R, Emily, and Sherry KB. Hi, Matt. You're up.
Good morning. Have you heard?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. This is Matt F. I'm a compulsive overeater in Illinois. I think this will be short. I'm about to embark on step 4 with a vision sponsor, and it'll be my first. And before I got into the program, I was terrified of step 4. And once I began to understand my disease, I don't know what anyone else's disease is, but my disease is shame. It is the deep conviction that I am not enough, that it would be much better if I had never been born, that I have nothing of value to offer to the world. That's it. Every time I unpeeled a rotten onion, that's what was at the center. And once I realized that, which is like sounds like a terrible thing, but it was so freeing, because what I realized about step 4 is the list of people I have harmed in my life is everyone, because there's no one with whom I could be my best self, because I had not recognized that disease. And now I view step 4 as I can't wait, because the list of everyone I've harmed is just going to start with the most important people in my life. And I will begin with an assumption that I was a less good person with them than I could have been because I didn't know what my disease was. And then it's almost fun. It's kind of uncovering in what way was my shame a factor in my not being for that person, to that person, with that person, the best way that I could be. And so I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm very grateful to this program and to my sponsor. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Matt F. Patty D, and then Laura R. Hi, Patty.
Hi. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie. This is Patty D, recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I just wanted to speak to step 4, and I remember doing this with my sponsor for the first time, and I had, you know, really difficult abusive relationship with my mother, and it was so difficult to look at that I remember sitting at my kitchen table and getting to that one. And I remember I just started crying and saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, the hurt was so deep within me. And just crying out and saying, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. And pushing away the paper and getting up and walking away. And later going back and saying, God, you have to help me do this. You have to help me do this. And that was, I think, the beginning where I realized God was helping me through all of it. And I did do it, got through it, and went through my fourth inventory with my sponsor. And if there's anyone out there who's got really bad abuse and stuff in their background and a lot of hurt and resentment, know that the people who sponsor, who listen, are just a gift. And my sponsor was that to me. And I remember when I got done, she said, Patty, you've had a really rough life. You've had a hard time and a lot of hurt. But you did a really, really good fourth step. And it was very freeing. And I remember saying to her, you know what? I think everybody in the world should do a fourth step. I think everybody should, because everybody's out there resenting and angry and having a hard time. And this is what they need. I was like a zealot. But it was so freeing. And I just am so thankful for my sponsor at the time and for all the sponsors out there, because you are God's gift to everyone who's in this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty D. Laura, you're next, and then you'll be followed by Emily. Laura R.
Hey, sorry, Moni. Hi, this is Laura R., Colorado, a compulsive overeater recovered today by God's grace. Oh, man, I just sit here listening to everyone. First of all, thank you all for those who shared and those who are service today. And I'm just filled up with so much gratitude and emotion. Because God brought me to Overeaters Anonymous, and Overeaters Anonymous has brought me to God. And I am so grateful. When I first came into the rooms a while ago, I am so grateful something happened and I bought in. And I was so uncomfortable in my skin. But someone told me it would get better. I'd feel a lot different. I'd feel, you know, everything better. But through the process of the steps, you know, more would be revealed and miracles would happen. And that has been the case. And I am so grateful. I have not given up, and I, you know, one day at a time, I will not give up. And, you know, it's just been such an amazing journey. I've done many four steps and 10 steps and, you know, whatever, but I've never had, as some fellow said, until I came into Overeaters Anonymous, just the awareness that has come, the fact-finding and fact-facing process that we uncover in step four. I just never really understood, because I was still substituting, you know, God for other substances and other people and other things. And so I am just truly grateful today to sit here and, like the person who just shared about sponsorship and, you know, one compulsive overeater talking to another, I'm in awe of what my sponsor gives to me every single day. And what the fellows that I pick up the phone, what they give me every single day, even when I'm calling to help someone else. What's so amazing is that before I couldn't look the world in the eye at all. I looked down. And now by sharing my vulnerability with you and you with me, you can say, yeah, me too. And then I also, the more I listen to you, the more I realize I'm really not that unique. We all have the same stuff pretty much, different here and there, but like overall, like we're just all, you know, trying to love and we're scared and we just want connection and it's scary. And, you know, if I didn't do the fourth step and carry on through the steps, I would have missed out on so much. What I hear constantly in my head and why I keep coming back is negative. It's, you know, you're unlovable. You're not worthy. You're not enough. You know, last night I went to a face-to-face and this girl was sharing. She had an interview today and she's in, you know, from another state and visiting Colorado. And she said, all of a sudden I needed a meeting. I'm going to this interview and it's just her head saying I'm not enough. And so I picked up the phone and called her because I got her number and I was like, you want to do a fear inventory? Like, that is so cool. This woman's from Nashville. I don't know her, but we have the same problem and the same solution. And, you know, one alcoholic, one compulsive overeater, just, you know, one woman and man talking to another. And that brings God into it all. And I am so grateful to be here. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura R. Emily S., it's your turn. And then Sherry KB. Hi, Emily. A quick star one, please.
Hi, it's Emily H. Can y'all hear me okay?
No wonder there might have been a hesitation. Yeah, I was thinking Emily.
Okay.
Put an H with your name.
No,
thank you so much.
No,
for
that's fine. You're correct. I was not unmuted, so thank you. So good morning, Melanie, and hi, everybody. I'm Emily H. in South Carolina. This is my first time sharing on a live call, so nice to meet all of you officially. I guess what's coming up for me this morning is I'm thinking about 4 through 9 and how, to me, it seems like it's kind of the process of learning this program. You know, we won't do just one step 4 through 9. We'll do them many times in the process of doing 10 and 11. And I think I didn't really understand that necessarily at first. And I have deep, deep issues, not just with shame like some other people have mentioned, which is true for me for sure, but deep sense of perfectionism, that if I don't somehow get this right, if I don't somehow do it perfectly, that I'm therefore a piece of, you know, scum or not worthy or going to fail or get an F, or I'm not even really sure how to describe that. And so I was always so afraid of doing these steps and that I wasn't going to do them well enough or right enough. And I think this most recent time around, which has been a very different experience for me, what was different about it was my conversations between me and my sponsor about the fact that the doing of this is the education of learning how to do step work. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be my best effort. And the results will come as long as I give it my best effort. Even if it doesn't sound like other people in the meetings, even if it doesn't look exactly like it says some of the promises in the book will come true, even if it looks slightly different, if I do the work honestly and with rigor and with my full intent that I'm putting everything I can into it, it doesn't matter if it's perfect or not. There's no grade to be given. It's simply learning how to do this work, and I can continue to refine it as I go on. So I'm super grateful that this time around things were much more neutral for me. I was very stressed out the previous times I was going through the steps, and I think that stress is what made it more difficult. So I just say that for any people out there for whom these steps seem very scary. They seem very scary for me too, and it just doesn't have to be that frightening. It's just learning, like learning to do anything else, and we won't be able to do it perfectly the first time around. And I think that's it. Thank you guys for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Emily H. Nice to meet you. Sherry KB, you'll be the last to share today. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line and Team Tuesday, and welcome newcomers. I'm just going to jump right into something about Step 4. I remember when I was working on Step 4 and I was having a hard time putting a brother on my Step 4 because he had harmed me many, many years ago, and I thought, what amends would I owe him? But what I learned by talking to the fellows, by reaching, making those outreach calls throughout when my step guide had me do that, I had a great conversation with a woman one day, and she said to me, I said, how am I going to put him on the list? He harmed me. And she said, well, did you ever stop to think that you harmed yourself and other people by holding on to the story for years and years and never letting it go, you know, forgiving him and moving on? And that just changed up so much for me, because my part was I was holding on to the story, and I had built up even more and more of that story in my mind, as well as telling other people, not only injuring myself for years and years, but injuring somebody else, the people I told it to. So that was very helpful for me to be able to do that. That was one of the greatest things that happened for me on my fourth step. And then also what I want to say, too, is on step four, if you're concerned about talking to some, you know, telling something that's hard to hold on to, look on page 124 and read paragraphs 1 and 2. It talks about how some of our greatest problems that we've had are greater assets for someone else, because we've all walked through something, including myself, that I didn't want to give away, and I did. And when somebody else I was sponsoring, I could help because I had been through it myself, was powerful, very powerful. In step 5, you know, just admitting to God, to myself and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs started freeing me up, and I kept thinking, how free did I want to be? That's what I wrote in front on a piece of paper. Sherry, how free do you want to be? And 6, you know, step 6 for me becomes step 1 because I am powerless over my character defects, and I cannot remove those. Just like I could not remove the stuff in step 5 that God could, well, God can't. I can't remove my character defects, only God can. So step 6 became my step 1. And then step 7, you know, I make a contract with God. That's what it says at the end of, on page 76, it says amen. And that I'm binding a contract with God. He's my creator from here on out. And I have a contract with God now to move on with the rest of the steps and to turn to God for the rest of my life. And steps 8 and 9, I transfer on step four onto step 8 and 9. And my time is up, and I'll make an amends later. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. And that does end the sharing part of this meeting. And we're going to wrap up then the recorded portion with saying the page one, reading the page 164 and the Serenity Prayer together. Then we'll move on to greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information and getting you some sponsor information. Would Sarah T. please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only on page 164.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Sarah T. in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.